Your worldliness has destroyed your wisdom before God. Your longing for earthly possessions and idolatry nature is now spilling over into your relationships. Could it be, as many of us may honestly say, there's no power of God in my life because there's no love for God in my life? And there's no love for God in my life because I love the world too much. Could it be that simple? For some, yes. That is the answer today. It's not your marriage. It's not your kids. It's not your friendships. It's your heart. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Because all I want is to be in the light.
Hey, welcome back, listeners, to Matthew chapter 6 and our message called You Cannot Serve God and Money. If you want to take a moment now and open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, that is a great place to start. Last time we talked all about the heart. When your vision is the kingdom, you are full of light. And that's what we desire here on Live in the Light. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer here is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. And you know where that starts? With your heart. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Hey, if you missed that message, check out Find Your Treasure and Find Your Heart. And let's get back into it today and figure out why Jesus is talking again here about money. Here's Pastor Robbie in Matthew chapter 6.
Notice verse 23. When the eye is bad, when the eye is unhealthy, when our vision is polluted, when our affections are rooted in what is evil, we're in trouble. This makes sense too, right? Because when our vision is clouded by the darkness of the world, then our lives are filled with that darkness. Before we get to the main application, let's get to some obvious applications here for our lives, right? So if we fill our minds with social media garbage, then our lives will be filled with social media garbage. What we look at is connected to our mind, connected to our desires, connected to the fruit of our lives and the state of our heart. Again, it's important for us to be so clear and to be wise. If we spend the majority of our time filling our lives and minds with junk, then let us not be surprised when our lives are filled with junk. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make any sense to anyone. Is that right? Nothing. If we're inputting trash, then we're going to get trash. That's the point. Right? If we flood our lives with human self-worship cultural ideology of our day, then we will be filled with human self-worship and cultural ideology. This is what we're gazing upon and our vision is filled with. That won't equal light in our lives for Jesus Christ. Let's get super practical. Hey, if we're flooding our hearts with satanic evil pornography, well, then we're going to be filling men, women. Let's go now. Like, let's not be so stupid. Then we're flooding our hearts, our lives with satanic evil pornography. Well, no wonder there's no affection for Christ. No wonder there's no light coming from your life. How could there be light when there's so much darkness coming in all the time? It's important we're honest with ourselves and just be like, why do I keep acting like I don't understand why things aren't happening when I just look at my life and of course it's not happening because I am filling my life and I with darkness. And so my whole body is full of darkness. If my closest friends are essentially anti-Christ, if my most intimate relationships, now listen, I am not saying don't have friends, you don't know Christ. Of course we should, absolutely. If my closest friends, though, are people who are leading me away from Jesus Christ, his kingdom, his heart, his values, his love, and they're constantly pulling me away from this, well, then don't be surprised then if my life is increasingly being filled with darkness. Because at that point, my eye is unhealthy. It is bad. And those are obvious, well, they should be some obvious applications. Now, our direct context, though, being very true and faithful to the word, is the love of the world, specifically earthly possessions, money, and treasures. So Jesus is saying, for sure, when our lives are filled with the love of money, then our lives are automatically going to be filled with darkness, right? This is where it gets important, for sure. So the Bible says that the Pharisees, religious, righteous leaders, the Pharisees, quote, were lovers of money. And then it says, and they ridiculed Jesus. So notice the connection there, okay? Notice the connection. The Pharisees were lovers of money. It blinded them to the reality and truth and treasure of Jesus. And instead of seeing Jesus as Savior, the love of money was their Savior. So then they hated Jesus. That's a life filled with darkness that is pretending and legalistically trying to pursue something else. It's wickedly deceptive. This is what sin does. Think of the rich young ruler, right? The rich young ruler, Jesus says, go and sell all your possessions, because Jesus is calling him out on his love of money and darkness. And he leaves Christ saddened, because at the end of that day, he wants the darkness of his love of money more than the light of the world in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about. The rich young ruler loved his wealth and possessions more than the actual light of the world, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. See, if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. The rich young ruler walked away from salvation. He literally walked away from eternal life. He walked away from the treasure, the Son of God, because he was pursuing and could not release himself from the darkness of his longing for the things of the world. Tragedy. Tragic. It's interesting, that the last days are summarized in 1 Timothy 3 by people who are lovers of self and lovers of money. Right? The last days are characterized by societies and people who love self and they're lovers of money, filled with deception and darkness. James, in James 5:3, says this. He's not afraid to throw it down. He says, and this is very reminiscent of our passage last week, your gold and silver have corroded, to the wealthy and the rich, he says, and their corrosion will be evidence against you. Listen to this, and will eat your flesh like fire. Wow. Why? You have laid up treasure in the last days. Wow. You have served money, not God. You have loved earthly treasure, not heavenly treasure. Money is your master, as opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Evidence against you will eat your flesh like fire. My goodness. So this is very, very serious stuff, right? This is kind of what we're getting at. This is what Jesus is not afraid to say either. This is also the devastation of darkness. If you look at the second half of verse 23, very interesting phrase. He says, if then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It's kind of confusing to read at first, or what exactly is he meaning by that? Jesus is speaking now to the total deception of worldliness. Meaning, he's speaking to people who have convinced themselves that the devastating darkness in their lives is actually light. And this is our world right now. Right? You have so many people who are so self-deceived that they speak of darkness, biblically speaking, as light. So this is what Romans 1 warns against, that God gives up the people in their sin and their lustful desires, a debased mind, that they end up calling good evil and evil good. So they are calling what is darkness light, and they are calling what is light darkness. This is the deception, again, of our current world. And this is what Satan does, right? This is what he did with Adam and Eve in the beginning. He convinces them that God really say, and God's afraid of you becoming like him. And so he convinces and tells them actually that darkness is actually light, and the light is actually darkness. He's been doing that again ever since as well. So we need to be very, 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 very careful on these things. the deception of our world and how it creeps into our lives on a daily basis. Sin is so blinding and sin is so deceiving. It's interesting, practically speaking on this, Tim Keller on the screen for you, the late Tim Keller, such a wonderful pastor, author. He said this, he says, as a pastor, I've had people come to me and to confess that they've struggled with almost every kind of sin, almost. He says, I cannot recall anyone ever coming to me and saying, I spend too much money on myself. I think my greedy lust for money is harming my family, my soul, and people around me. And he says, greed hides itself from the victim. The money God's modus operandi includes blindness to your own heart. So this is why today, as we go through this, I know it's tough, but it's very, 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 very important because this is about the heart, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the heart we're most suspicious of right now is our own. Not the person, not here, the person beside, the person around, it's our own. God, search our hearts. Search our hearts. And Jesus builds off this hard truth with point number three when he says this, when I'm a slave to money, I'm full of idolatry. So look at verse 24 now. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So in verse 24, we have two masters. We have God and we have money or wealth. And Jesus' point here, he makes it clear, at the end of the day, we serve one or the other. We prefer one or the other. We defer to one or the other. We are pursuing, we are placing our affection in one or the other. And notice this, right? We have two masters, God and money, or the love of money, God and wealth, possessions, and each master is pulling us in entirely different directions. The God of money is pulling us in self-centered living, self-worship. Come this way, God of money says, and God of the Bible, he is pulling us in the direction of loving other people, of living for others, loving God and loving others. I think what we have to come to terms with here, loved ones, is that when it comes down to verse 24, we often try to serve God and money. I think it's important for us to recognize that so often we seek to do both. But Jesus makes it very clear, in the end, our lives will communicate which master we ultimately prefer. Because verse 24, look at, he says, no one can serve two masters. No one. So neutrality here in that sense is impossible. And we think of master, the language is not 21st century employer. That's not the language. In the Greek here, the language is owner to slave. Who are we owned by is what Jesus is saying. It's either one or the other. So the issue then is control. We're owned by someone, we're controlled by someone. So the question is, does money or treasure control me? Does money or treasure own me? Or does God Almighty control me? Does God Almighty own me? And this is where we need to be so honest, right? We need to be so honest. God knows he sees all things right now. I read this phrase this week. I think it's very helpful. Listen, a castle can only have one king. A castle can only have one king. The castles of our bodies, our lives, our hearts can ultimately only have one king, which is ours. So think of this, when we try to serve two masters, what happens? We are split in different directions. We are unhealthy, we are double-minded. We're trying to serve the world and we're trying to serve God. It doesn't work. James is helpful in James 4. James throws it down again. He says this, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Okay, so therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's another way of saying, again, verse 24 of Matthew 6, you cannot serve both God and money. No one can serve two masters. It's either the world or God, or it's God or the world. Important stuff. I know serious stuff today. I know in some sense hard stuff today as well, but again, very, very important. So we're having a lot of insight in here into the area of idolatry and what potentially enslaves us. I saw this a couple of years ago in Matthew 6, 2 from the passage from last week and to this week. I found this to be very, very helpful. Okay, so notice what happens here from verse 21 to verse 24. The love of money, treasures, or possessions, right? If we love it, what happens? It enslaves my affections. It the love of money enslaves my desires. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So the love of money, remember this, money by itself is neutral, right? Money by itself is not evil. Money is neutral. It's the worship of money It's the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evils, it says in 1 Timothy as well, right? This is what Jesus is going after. But if the love of money enslaves my affections, the love of money enslaves my mind, what my eye, when the eye is unhealthy, when the eye is bad, my whole body's full of darkness. The love of money enslaves my mind. The love of money enslaves then my will. Verse 24, it's like two masters. You're either devoted to the one or you serve the other. So notice this all here, love, money, treasures, possessions, affections, mind, and will. This is the biblical explanation for the next one right here, which is the heart. So ultimately, the love of money, again, isn't this so important, church? Like just for us, I know that messages like this are tough. And that's why many of you are very still right now, which is good, right? Because the Holy Spirit's, he's poking the bear, so to speak. But the Holy Spirit's very much stronger than the bear. And he's able to do whatever he wants. But again, like we're being challenged. But it's so important for us to see what's happening in our lives, biblically speaking. This is very, very powerful counseling, biblical counseling. Do I want to be enslaved to this? I hope not. But this is what's happening when we are. And we recognize like, whoa, wait a second. I've been kind of lulled to sleep here. I need to get out of this. I need to make sure that Christ, of course, is the one that I'm ultimately serving. So this issue is so massive because this issue enslaves our heart. So this is interesting to look at this too, right? So think, maybe you come in today, you're here, Orangeville, Overflow in this room right now, and you're like, Robbie, my issue right now, I'm not sure it's money, my issue is marriage. My issue is my kids. My issue is my friendships. And I'd say, maybe it is, could be very well be, or maybe it isn't. You say, what do you mean? Well, could it be that rather than the relational struggles you're having, could your real issue be your love of money and treasure and possessions that has filled your life with idolatry? Could it be that your love for the world has wrecked your intimacy with God? Your worldliness has destroyed your wisdom before God. Your longing for earthly possessions and idol nature is now spilling over into your relationships. Could it be, as many of us may honestly say, there's no power of God in my life because there's no love for God in my life. And there's no love for God in my life because I love the world too much. Could it be that simple? For some, yes. That is the answer today. It's not your marriage. It's not your kids. It's not your friendships. It's your heart. The heart that longs for things other than Jesus Christ. So there's no power of God because there's no ultimate love for God. Yeah, we know what to say. Yeah, we know how to put on the show. Yeah, we know how to look in front of certain people. Yeah, we know how to show up at certain events. We know what to do. We put the part, we say the right things. We look good. People think we're more spiritual than we are. But the reality is God's not fooled. You cannot serve God in money. I mean, that's for someone here right now, 100%. In fact, in some sense, it's for every single one of us, myself included. There's a reason Jesus goes after these issues the way that he does, because you cannot serve God and money. You know, think about this too, right? In all these passages and all the scriptures that talk about possessions, money, treasure, and the problem with that, Jesus could have chosen to go after all sorts of false gods, but he goes after the love of money here. Why? It's because Jesus understands the false god of money is more seductive and more deceptive than any other. You know what he knows too? Jesus knows that the issue of lordship is more challenged by the idolatry of money than any other issue in our lives. I think that's a very powerful biblical argument. He knows the thing that's gonna challenge his lordship, right? Like who's actually running our lives? He says, this issue right here, that's why he says, you cannot serve God in money. He doesn't say that about any other issue in this way. Because he knows the challenge of his lordship over our lives is more defined and proven by this issue. So this is why we need to take notice in a very special way. And by the way, too, I was like saying this over the years, right? Again, messages like these, I'm not afraid of. In fact, I'm pretty excited about them. And they are tough, but they are so good. But again, right now, if you're sitting here and you're like, Robbie, don't talk to me about my money. And you can't say those things to me like that, whatever. And don't you dare go near whatever. All that does is prove the idol that exists within your heart. If you're mad at me right now, then I pray for you in Jesus' name. Like, it's just like, you're mad at this. You're not mad at me, you're mad at Jesus. It's just, if you're angry, that's just, it's proving the fact that this is a problem. Why are you angry? Because I'm poking at your idol. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, we got an issue. And it's poking at you. And you're like, don't touch my idol. Get away from my idol. Your precious idol. And they say, that's the problem. And so then, what do we do about that now? Continue to rationalize, make excuses, and let God be a compartment of a whole bunch of others? Or will we actually admit and confess? Jesus, I got issues. Please help me. And he will. And he will. And he does. Just because we're not fully done with conviction yet, I want to read an excerpt from Paul Tripp, who's like a master at the heart. And in his book, Redeeming Money, he said this. He said, perhaps many of us are confused as to which master we are really serving. Maybe we haven't surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ after all. Perhaps we've given lip service to the King of Kings, while in our daily lives we do homage to the money king. Perhaps the degree of our drive, discontent, and debt exposes the king we are really serving. I just want to say that line one more time. Perhaps the degree of our drive, discontent, and debt exposes the king we are really serving. Perhaps the king we worship on Sunday is not actually the king we've been serving all week. He gets practical. If your week is spent loading up more debt and credit cards, acquiring more stuff than you don't know how you'll pay for, you have worshiped at the feet of King Money. If you have to farm out your children to some care provider because you and your spouse have to work to maintain the upper middle class lifestyle that you think you cannot live without, you have worshiped King Money. If you work more than you should work to acquire more wealth and power, you are worshiping King Money. If your security is found in your big bank account, your nice house, your hot car, you are doing homage to King Money. If you have sleepless nights wondering how you're going to pay the monthly minimum due on several credit cards, you have offered your heart to King Money. If you get more personal excitement shopping than you do attending your church's worship service, maybe the mall is your temple, and perhaps money is really the king you serve. Just want to remind you, I did not say those words. Paul Tripp said those words. But obviously I stand behind those words. What do we do? What do we do today with this passage and with such words? How do we respond? My prayer is twofold in this. And number one, maybe for the first time in a long time, maybe the first time ever, we are given the courage to repent. We were praying as pastors before the service started when the pastors basically prayed, there's no one here that does not need to hear this message and apply it to their hearts in some way. There's not a single soul here that this isn't relevant for, either today or our past or our future. May God give us the courage to repent and may God give us the wisdom to change. So if we take a look at our outline from today, I mean, it's very powerful. When my vision is the kingdom, my love is the kingdom, my life is full of light. I shine as a light for Christ. When my vision is the world, then it's darkness. Like, and the darkness in this context, the application, I'm a slave to the love of money, and then my life is full of idolatry. Anyway, I'm hoping you're looking at 2 and 3, like, I don't want it. I don't want it. Like this ruins my life. This destroys my soul. Light is what I need most of anything else, right? But it doesn't end here ultimately. And we're gonna end the sermon with this right here. But point number 4, and this is really what we say now, is, but when my master is truly God, when God is the one I serve, then my life is full of devotion. Then my love for God is so real and my affections for God are sincere and my worship for Jesus Christ is paramount in my life. That's the goal. This is what Jesus, see, Jesus is so kind. He's like, I show you your sin, and now I show you my forgiveness. And now I show you my treasure. And now I show you my blessing. Because he's like, child, I want you to want my blessing and treasure more than anything the world could ever give. Listen, if we genuinely come in repentance to Jesus Christ today, he forgives. He forgives. He showers us with grace. Every single person, but you gotta come and have the courage to repent with the wisdom to change, to see the grace of Jesus Christ flood your life. So I think it's appropriate right now. I think it's appropriate. Let's just bow our heads. Let's just be quiet where we are. Let's take a few moments just to sincerely pray. Holy Spirit, we prayed as we started this message. Speak to me. Teach me. Holy Spirit, I pray that you have. Maybe you finished this sentence. Jesus Christ, forgive me. I repent of what? I repent of a worship of the world. I think it's important when we're confessing our sins to be very specific. Not just forgive my sins, but what exactly? I have loved blank. I have been worshiping possessions. I have been filled with the idol of, get specific, and I think it's powerful. We repent of the sin and the world taking over, but now, Lord, we long to be filled with affection for you. Now, Lord, we pursue your kingdom. God, change our hearts to love Jesus Christ and his treasure, his blessing, his fruitfulness, his perspective, his return, the stewardship of our lives. Church, know this, okay? The number one antidote to the love of money, the idolatry of possessions, and greed in our lives, the number one thing we can do as the antidote is generosity from our lives. The number one way to fight against greed is to give it away. That is what God is calling us to do. Instead of hypocrisy or greed and selfishness, now generosity and giving. Specifically, Holy Spirit, who can we bless this, maybe even this day or this week? What can we give generously to this week? Forgive us for being so stingy at times and so weak in giving, just like barely anything, yet we're filled with treasures of the world all around us. It's just wrong. It's wrong. So I pray, and by your grace, but even now, we're not sad. I pray we're not mad. We actually feel freedom. Like, we sense, man, this is gonna change my life. This is gonna break some chains. This is gonna smash open my enslavement to the world and let me be free for the things of Christ. Yes, that's the vision. That's the vision. You're sensing, man, there's more light gonna flood my soul. I'm gonna have light come into my life for the first time in so long. How awesome that will be. Yes, how awesome that will be. That's exactly right. You're on the right path. This is what Jesus wants. He just wants to bless. So it comes down to you cannot serve God in money. I pray we choose God. I pray we choose Christ. And I pray the song we sing is super helpful to say, Lord, I want my vision. I want my vision to be you. Because when my vision is the kingdom, then I'm full of light.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here, and without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give, or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. Yeah,